Well, we're back. Now, let's get into some of these quotes by Eric Fromm, and I'm going to support what he says from other social engineers, not support his position, but give you more depth in how this social psychology material is being worked in our society. In Fromm's book, Escape from Freedom, he says, personal relations between men have this character of alienation. You know, when God put a cannot in the garden, he produced alienation. He alienated Adam and Eve from something in the environment that their fleshy nature, their fleshy mind would want to associate with. Hegel, Fromm writes, Hegel and Marx have laid the foundation for the understanding of the problem of alienation. And, of course, that ties to the dialectical process. Excuse me. Now, the dialectic, as we go through this process, is the heartthrob of the process. The dialectic is a cycle. Is the environment stimulates desire for pleasure in the mind and or the brain, and then the mind looks into the environment to continue this cycle, and as well as looking in the environment to avoid pain through fight or flight. Now, with women, they're different than men in that there's an oxytocin, a chemical that's secreted that turns the women from fight and flight into tend and befriend. And that's why they want to put men in a women's environment. That's why Satan went to Eve first. You go to the women first. This is classic with the socialists. With the heresiarchal, they always go to the matriarchal, because once they get the matriarchal, the desire of the heart of the wife is no longer to the husband, but to herself and to her children, then she then erodes the patriarchal system. And so and Adam then follows. The men will follow the women, but you got to get the women on board first. So this personal relationship is the foundation of the dialectical process, and it's this feeling of acceptance within the creation. Botterman, who edited Karl Marx's material, he writes a book, Selected Writings on Sociology and Social Psychology, or Philosophy, excuse me. He writes, the immediate task is to unmask human alienation in its secular form, not that it has been unmasked in the sacred form. That was Karl Marx. See, Marx said, now we've gotten rid of God, okay, but this patriarchal system is still in place. And these were the young Hegelians, and he criticized them because they were doing deductive reasoning. I have three lengthy articles on the difference between deductive and inductive reasoning. It's important because if I teach your children using a deductive method on, say, in any subject with ethics and morals, I'm teaching them to be accountable to higher authority, because in deductive reasoning is you start with a premise, do syllogism, in other words, use logic, and then your outcome must always be in harmony or in agreement with the premise, with the command. Now, if it is not, then it's wrong. Now, that's deductive, but you have to be careful because today they've redefined all the terms. Now, inductive means there is no certainty in the outcome because all we do is collect whatever we can from the environment, and from that source, we determine what's right and wrong, what's relevant for the situation. So there's never certainty. In fact, there's always deviancy out there that we have to look at. So you're always looking at deviancy as a part of the solution with inductive reasoning, whereas with deductive reasoning, deviancy is wrong because it's an external, a higher command that directs. It's a higher law that guides. So he's saying, okay, now once we've removed this voice above man, above the creator, man still has this desire for a voice that guides and directs his life, so we have to unmask human alienation. Any structure out there that prevents humanism, that interferes, that's a blocker or a barrier to man's desire to relate with whatever it is in the creation, to find unity. You know, the Bible talks about unity, but it's always in doctrine. It's spiritual unity. You know, it's not the zeitgeist or the spirit of the time. That's temporal. It is spiritual from God unity. And so the byproduct is our relationship with one another. Your relationship with a brother or sister in the Lord is a byproduct of you and them seeking Christ, knowing Him, and walking in Him. It is spiritual. And so the temporal is a byproduct of the spiritual. But this is reversed. It is the quest is unity for unity's sake. And so any form that comes in that separates man from himself, because it has a top-down system, see, must be unmasked, must be removed, identified as an enemy. And again, that's what Marx was saying about destroying the traditional home, because that's the heart of this whole process, is the traditional home. In my book or article, Civil Disobedience, clear at the bottom, takes a long time to get down there, a lot of information on civil disobedience explaining this process. But Martin Luther King Jr. was hurt as a young child. And I can understand the hurt. As a young black man, he had a friend, a white young white boy that was down that street where he lived. And the dad came out one day of the white young boy and told him to leave, to get away, to come in the house, and not to associate with a black boy. And so that caused a hurt in Martin Luther King Jr.'s life. But I would say it is the right of that father to say, you know, I determine who you're going to play with. It was wrong for the father to have a prejudiced attitude on skin color. See, he could have said, you know, son, why don't you and this young boy come in and study the word? See, if he was a Christian. But see, prejudice is, and I tell people, the prejudice issue is not a race issue. It is a sin issue. It's a heart issue. And the civil disobedience, that civil rights movement, didn't get to the heart issue. It went to the social issue. It went to the feelings issue and the thought issue. And it didn't get the heart. Because only God can change the heart. And so I can understand the resentment towards alienation. But folks, you know, the world is going to alienate the believer. In fact, we are aliens in the world. We're the resident alien in it, but not of it. And so this is Broner, in his book of Critical Theory and as Theorists, a book I found at Berkeley while I was over. I was going through town and stopped at the bookstore there and was looking for some of this information. He writes, now this is a textbook that was used there. I don't know if it's still being used, but he writes, every form of objectification results in alienation. In other words, anytime there's an objective truth that comes between you and the environment, the creation, or, you know, whatever you want to relate with out there, that objective truth, that's an object that does not come from the environment in the sensuous sense. It is external to the sensuous. Remember, in the garden, it was a sensuous need. The tree produced a sensuous need, desire to touch it. She looks at the tree, there's sense perception, and with the sensuous experience and sense perception coming to agreement, in other words, there's nothing wrong with the tree, human reasoning says there's nothing wrong with the relationship, then there's a sensuous experience. And that all proceeds from nature. And so Karl Marx said, true science, remember it's behavioral science, follows that pattern. It's sensuous need and sense perception leading to sensuous experience or sense experience, which all must proceed from nature. Now, you can apply this on rocks and plants and animals, except for the sensuous need. But when you apply it to man, all you've got are the laws of the flesh. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And so anything that interferes with lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, which actually then would produce the lust part, see, is an objective truth. And so any parent or God or any authority, even the constituents, see, this is why they don't want representation form of government. They don't want limited form of government. And they, meaning social psychologists. They read Lenin's speech. He writes about, we've got to get rid of this bourgeoisie breaking up the branches of government. Why? Why did our framing fathers limit the power of government? Why did they say one branch was separated from the other? It's because by the weakening of those branches in the national and in the state, I should say federal and the state and the counties and townships and the villages and the cities, the family was the only unit that had all of those offices in place. And so the conscience was developed from the home. But if you get rid of these limited structure, this limited form of government, you have the directorate, you have the Politburo system, And therein, it directly deals with health of the home. It goes directly into the home. It destroys the home. Instantly destroys the home. That's why in civil disobedience, I say, the moment you do civil disobedience, you destroy the traditional home. Because if you, and you have to understand what I'm saying, because there's a right to defend your property. But the issue was disobedience to civil. Now, civil is social. You have to understand that. Civil has different meanings. So from a patriarchal, civil would be doing what's right based on God's word. But you see, the Ten Commandments were removed, prayer was removed, and so the whole focus was not on God. Even in the church, it was based upon man, on human relationship. And you'll see what Bronner says here. This is very clear where we're going with this. And this is Bloom's taxonomy, because he talks about how to remove alienation in the classroom. How to remove God from the classroom. Now, we removed him, from the Ten Commandments, but now you can get man away from God, but he's still got God in him in the sense that he's thinking to higher authority. You got to get rid of that structure. And so Bloom's taxonomy was how to create a classroom environment to get rid of that structure. And then in the team building or the consensus building or the group think environment, T groups and counter groups, all of that was how to wash from the brain individual people, everyone in the room, from having this and applying this top-down system in setting policy, making decisions. He writes, Bronner does, alienation is the experience of estrangement, he uses the German word verfremdung, from others. It's an estrangement from others. So when young Martin Luther King Jr. was estranged from this friend, that was alienation. But then he goes, alienation has a long history. Now, they're going back to the source of what created alienation. And he says, its most radical sense already appears in a biblical expulsion from Eden. All of social psychology, folks, goes back to the garden. Norman O'Brown talks about the garden. Herbert Marcuse, a Marxist, talks about the garden. They're all going back to the garden. There's a problem. Even Abraham Maslow go back to the garden. There's a problem in the garden. It's that God, and here's what Bronner writes, alienation. He's writing about the Frankfurt School here in his book Critical Theory and Its Theorists. Alienation, according to Feuerbach, a materialist that Marx used, derives from the externalization, Entausuerung, excuse me, it's been a while since I've studied German, externalization of human power and possibilities upon a non-existent entity. And then he says God. See? And so according to this dialectical process, God doesn't really exist. When Eve's looking at the tree and saying, it is good, it is good, it is good, in that moment, she is discovering, according to Antonio Gramsci, the Marxist, he said, truth is found in a moment of correct praxis. She's doing a correct praxis. She's practicing the dialectic correctly. And in that moment, there is no God. In that moment. Now, later on, God shows up. But in that moment, in the moment of the world, in the moment of the world's peace, there is no God above. And then, see, and so there's no externalization of human powers. Now we are free to be ourselves. We can discover our full potential. We are now empowered. You notice when Eve was empowered, Satan was empowered. He had no power until Eve abdicated God's restraint in her life. Adam abdicated. She was just deceived out of it. So this alienation derives from externalization of human powers. We according to the social engineers, we project into God our nature, and then we make him subject over us. And I'm going to give you a quote from Karl Marx that actually says that. According to them, non-existent entity, God. This is textbook material for college students, for leadership. God, he writes, is thus the anthropological source of alienation. So that's why you had to get the Ten Commandments out of the schoolroom. You had to get the prayer and the Bible and spanking out of the classroom, because that's the major source of alienation. You cannot. You want to stop globalism? Put those back in the classroom. Get the teachers up front teaching 2 + 2 = 4. And am I against the feelings and the thinking? No, there's a right place for that. But it's all subject to accountability to higher authority. And will there be alienation? Folks, this is always alienation. You talk about alienation, there's heaven and hell. There's an alienation. and there's a gap in between, and nothing will ever cross those two gaps. Jesus went in. But folks, you know, Lazarus, remember the rich man? You know, can't come across. Hell is eternal, folks. Hell is permanent. And that's alienation. Jesus came to restore us who were alienated from God because of our sin. Now, Bronner says alienation will continue so long as the subject, as man, engages in externalization of his or her subjectivity. In other words, you must allow your feelings and your thoughts and your opinions to be your foundation of life. And if you listen to God, look at the church today. You go in there, the apostate church, and you get in a Bible study. It's everybody's opinion. So-and-so, Groff and Wellhausen. You get all these so-called experts, dialectical experts, and you throw them all around and ask one another how you feel and what do you think, and you get rid of objective truth. You create a subjective God. You create an antichrist, not the true Christ, because the true Christ was not offended by the law of God. He fulfilled the law of God, but the law of God condemns your flesh. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. My kingdom is not of this world. But that's what the church, the apostate church, is preaching and teaching today. I guarantee these so-called conservative churches doing this process are going to be fully involved in the promotion of homosexuality. They already are. There's a lot of ministers out there that are homosexuals practicing, called the down low. Marx writes, "The life which he has given to the object sets itself against him as an alien, hostile force." In other words, when the child obeys the parent, they give the parent life. See, if Eve had obeyed God, see, Satan could do nothing. He doesn't want us to trust in God with all our heart, because then he can't rule. And so he has to get us to lean to our own understanding. That's all. The 10 spies went in. They leaned to their own understanding. Everybody in the Word of God that gets into trouble, they lean to their own understanding. They look into the environment and they make an evaluation, not from God's Word, but they make an evaluation of what the environment gives them. And so they lean to their own understanding, and in all their ways, they don't acknowledge God. They don't acknowledge the parent. They don't acknowledge. And in a classroom, well, if I was a teacher of your child and I said, "Have you ever been told you couldn't do something you wanted to do?" Your child's oddities are going to come out in that classroom. But your child might say, "You know what? My parents tell me what's right and I'll obey my parents. You know, sometimes I don't like it, but that doesn't matter." See, they're giving witness. They're giving the parent authority in the classroom. And that would close the system down, by the way. You know, if the citizens had 50 years ago in these facilitated meetings, they were going on back then. That's how the education system gained control. They brought in facilitators and they manipulated the congregation, the community. And if people would have stood up and said, "Well, you know, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here. Maybe, you know, you don't have understanding of this, but there's discernment. There's something wrong here." And if three or four would have stood up, they would have had to close the meeting, because then people would have been checking it out. But they have to have that time factor. It's a pressure cooker. They got to stay in the room and keep everybody under pressure and get the handshakes and get the group hug and get the consensus and get the power. And once they've got the power, then they're in control. That's how it happened. And they'll continue to do it forever and ever until God judges. But Marx simply said it. God is the source of alienation. The moment you accept that patriarchal parent, the husband is to rule, desire of the heart of the wife is to the husband, and children obey their parents and the Lord. See, that is now an alien and hostile force that has to be negated from the culture. All of the material being published today for education, public and most even in Christian, and a lot in homeschooling material, is all about this subtle process of destroying the authority of the parents. Even in California, to be a homeschooler, you must be certified, trained under Bloom's taxonomy, which means you're a social engineer in your home, and you have abdicated the top-down system in your home. And if you spank your child, you're going to have to do it in secret. See, hide. You know, like the Jews had to hide in Germany, the believer is going to actually today hiding in America. I know homeschooled families that are hiding today from the government, child protective services, from these pedophiles. And you might say, "How dare you say that?" Well, touch, taste, sight, smell, sound. Those are all sensuous things. If you're a child protective service agent and you take a child, you're going to sit down and ask them questions that are dealing with sensuous sexual events, and you're introducing in the child a possibility of experiences that they have never thought about before, and you certainly have as an agent, and you can actually, as Freud said, you're getting pleasure from it. That's what a pedophile does. Same system. Because Freud, according to Freud, when the father is killed by the children, they practice patricide, is because they wanted to have incest with the mother. And what that was a result of touch, taste, sight, smell, sound. All these senses in the body wanted to relate naturally with what's in the environment in any way unrestrained. And the father said, no, that's wrong. He called it polymorphously perverse behavior. Now, Freud didn't see it as polymorphously perverse. He saw it as natural. He saw nothing wrong with homosexuality because a homosexual can have sexual relationship with anything as long as it doesn't procreate. Do you understand the system? We're looking at systems, and we're not looking at the details. We're looking at the general system itself. It's a pattern. And so pedophilia and homosexuality and bestiality are all the very same system. It's just how far down the road you want to go, but it's the same system. And for somebody to knock on the door and take somebody's child because they were spanked, of course, they will always use the extreme where a parent has gone too far or done what's wrong. And then put the fear, not of God in them, but the fear of the child protective services. Who's afraid of the child protective services? See, what I'm sharing here in a dialectic world, what I'm sharing is a hate crime. This is hated. Satan hates this. Satan hates the truth. And so this is a process that hates parents chastening their children. Oh, they might get lip service, but they hate it. They hate because you're in a restaurant and you hear some child over there being spanked. I mean, that's property rights now. Because feelings are property. When you took the affective domain and you put it in the classroom, that's property now. Don't hurt my feelings. Don't make me feel bad. You're prejudiced. You made me feel bad and you're going to be interrogated. That's the flesh. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Used to be, in the past, you could confront people with truth. And it would hurt their feelings. The flesh. But now you spank your child in the restaurant and you hurt everybody else's feelings. It's their property and they will attack you. They will turn you in. They're a bunch of cowards. They won't come over and say, you know, that's wrong. No, they will come and grab your child and take your child. Grab and run, they call it. And that's the practice of the Child Protective Service. Who's afraid of this government-created organization? Not elected by the citizens. Now, the legislators were. But they are the ones who gave birth to this institution that now they're scared of. They're afraid of. They are cowards out there, these legislators. And the judges and the sheriff. The people who are supposed to represent you are cowards. They're afraid of their you know, promotion and their children or their relatives' children. This was the Soviet system. And we looked at that system and we said, that's so evil. And yet here we are today practicing the very same system. This is the Antichrist. And boy, you ain't seen anything yet. Wait until healthcare becomes the total agenda in this nation. It's almost there right now, folks. Health is you not chastening your child. That's a healthy society. Time out and just don't interfere with their dopamine because a tyrant can't rule without people following the dopamine. That's the tyranny of the masses. That's democracy. Not a constitutional republic. Because again, getting back to the chastening, when a parent chastens a child, they produce a peaceful fruit of righteousness. It's grievous for a season because they're getting the kids off of the heresiarchal paradigm and off the matriarchal paradigm and onto the patriarchal paradigm. And the heresiarch, the tyrant, cannot rule under a patriarchal paradigm. Cannot rule with a conscience. And we'll get into the conscience. Boy, I tell you, I always get bogged down on this in this presentations. So now, let's look at Tillich. Paul Tillich, in a book written by Leonard Wheat, Paul Tillich's Dialectical Humanism, he says, Tillich suggests that it would be better to let the giver of arbitrary laws to destroy us physically than to accept the psychological destruction that would accompany submission to an alien will. It's better that God would just kill us than us accept arbitrary laws. Arbitrary means doesn't make any sense to you. It's just like they're just rattling it off the top of their head. See, and so any law that interferes with lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life that actually produces and identifies our carnal nature, our human nature as lust, it's better that that authority that produced those laws destroy us physically, kill us, just wipe us off the face, abort us, than to accept the psychological destruction that would accompany submission to an alien will. In other words, for a child to accept faith in God, to obey God, to be accountable to a higher authority, it's better that that child was never born. This is the hate, folks, that's coming out of this. It's in your community, and it's coming after everyone, because everybody's guilty until they're proven innocent in this process. Now, Fromm, in Escape from Freedom, remember, this is what I'm talking about in Bloom's Taxonomy. Every teacher certified in this ideology, they don't tell you this in college. They don't share, oh, by the way, what we're doing is we're going to create teachers who look down their nose at the parents who come in, these people who are maladjusted, until you interrogate them and find out they're going to support you and your fire a Moloch on your child. You know, if you put your child in this, you want him to be a witness? You just sent your child into the fires of Moloch. You sent your child into the beast. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say to ever experiment with your child. Put him in a laboratory where they blow up. You can't blame the teacher if your child blows up. You blame you because you put your child in this heresiarchal paradigm. Then he writes, Fromm writes, we may call this new world order, see, by the name of democratic socialism, but the name does not matter. You know, whatever name you want to put on it, just to deceive the masses. Keep changing it if they figure it out. All that matters is that we establish a rational economic system. This is all about money. Love of pleasure, love of money. Direct correlation. Serving the purpose of the people. See, they have this people mentality, not you as an individual. It's the community. Marx says you have no identity outside of the community. Outside of the village, you have no identity. So your purpose is to the group. Your purpose is to the church. No, your purpose is to God. But no man between you and God. And weigh everything in your life and everybody's behavior towards you from God, not from you. This is opposite. Only in a planned economic system. There we have it. Boy, everything's going to be planned, isn't it? In which the whole nation has rationally mastered the economic and social forces. In other words, if you've got the patriarchal family under control and annihilating, can the individual share responsibility now? Now you belong, your soul belongs to the creation. Your soul belongs to the village, is what he's saying. Can the individual share responsibility and use creative intelligence in his work? That's all Eve was doing. Creative intelligence. What is that? Allowing Eros out. Erich Fromm, a Marxist, wrote Eros and Civilization. We've got to get Eros into the workplace. Then he says, all that matters, Fromm does, is that the opportunity for genuine activity be restored in the individual. In other words, the children can play incest. And that the purpose of society and its own become identical. In other words, there's tolerance of ambiguity. There's tolerance of homosexuality. There's tolerance of perversity. And so the pervert can find freedom in the village and no longer having to deal with accountability to the higher authority. No longer the conscience bothered. Folks, this is where we as a nation, we are a wicked nation, folks, promoting wickedness around the world. I'm not in love with this nation. I'm in love with the Lord. And I pray to God that you are too, that you would trust in Him. See, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about what's going on. Let Him be your guide and your direction. What is it to gain approval of men and lose your soul? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, because it'll just worry you to death. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Let Him be the witness, speaking through you. Martyrius is witness. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your path. Let Him direct your steps today.